In the first reading today in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, we have a very simple image, but one that is very easy to understand, and that's why it's so powerful and so beautiful. You have two trees, one that is planted near a stream, and one that is planted in a lava bed, in a place that is empty with salt and dryness. It is a very simple image, and yet we see that the prophet uses this image and says, the one that is planted near the stream is the one that puts its trust in the Lord. Even in times of difficulty, even when it's not raining, the tree has its roots down deep into the bed of the river. And because of this, it produces green fruit, whether it is in a drought or not, because it reaches into the stream and there is able to draw forth the nutrients and the life that it needs to do what it was created to do. No matter how much striving, no matter how much desire or want that could possibly be made manifest in the tree planted in the desert place, it cannot bear fruit without the water. It cannot bear fruit or life if it is not connected to its source. The reality is, a tree is not self-sustaining. A tree needs other things in order for it to fulfill its treeness, you might say. Just invented a word, treeness. If you just sit there like a bump on a log, I'll start calling you, you know. Anyway. The tree puts its roots down deep into the earth next to the stream, and it is able to draw that what it needs in order to fulfill what it was created to be. This is the one, Jeremiah says, who trusts in the Lord. In the gospel text today, we have a similar kind of parallel between two groups of people, the rich and the poor, the satisfied and the hungry, and the laughers and the weepers, and the one whom everybody speaks well of, and the ones that are despised. In some sense, we can bring those two trees and plant them in this moment. In what appears to the world to be the tree that is prospering because it is rich, it is consoled, filled, laughing, and loved. And yet what we see in Jesus' remarks is a warning to the tree. Because they are drawing from the things of this world. They are putting their trust in other human beings, in man. And because of it, their prosperity is fleeting. It is not the essential kind of thing. And what Jesus says of those who are hungry now, who are poor now, who are weeping, who are insulted now, is the realization that they have an emptiness that He is ready to fulfill in this moment. And what He is preparing to do by His life, by His death and His resurrection, is going to transform this situation. It's not going to steal the money from the rich and give it to the poor, but it's going to change everything. Because what Jesus is going to do in His life, death, and resurrection is He is going to give to everyone as they need the fundamental life that they seek. He's going to plant a deep river next to everyone, or pick us up and plant us next to him. This deep river, this stream that flows, that possesses life, the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to his bride of the church, that we would all be prophets, that this Holy Spirit, this river of life would be planted, and that we would be planted next to it, and that our roots would go deep, and that we would draw forth everything that we need that is essential for us to bear fruit. Jesus is not talking about nice clothes or nice cars or how expensive our Friday night dinner is, whether we go to McDonald's or the finest steakhouse in downtown Kansas City. He's not talking about that. What he's talking about is providing the essential longing that every human heart longs for. What he gives to the human family by his life, his death, and resurrection. We see that in the second reading when Paul is reminding the Corinthians. He says, how in the world are some of you saying that there is no resurrection? If there is no resurrection, then Jesus never rose. And if Jesus never rose, then we have no forgiveness of sin, and we are the most pitiable of people. He says, but Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And because of that, we have life in him. That which is most essential, that which we most long for, we receive it in him. We can either spend our life trying to gather to ourselves everything that can try to make our life meaningful and happy and worth living. But when we try to do this on our own, then the very life that we're trying to preserve becomes about trying to gather it to ourselves. Do you understand that? That if we engage in this endeavor to go after life and to gather it to ourselves, to seek to make it meaningful, that then our whole life becomes consumed by trying to make life meaningful. And that which we are trying to preserve, that which we're trying to draw to ourselves, that which we're trying to make meaningful, slips through our fingers as we're trying to hold on to it, as we're trying to make it meaningful. We can waste our entire life trying to make it meaningful. Why? Because we do not possess the means to make it have meaning. Just like the tree doesn't possess within itself that which it needs to bear fruit and to come alive. We do not possess, we cannot gain, we cannot glean, we cannot work hundreds of hours and then all of a sudden we will gain what it means, what life means. It is beyond our ability. And what Jesus is offering to us in the gospel today, in the Beatitudes, it's not a list of commandments, but a new way of life. He says, I am going to give to you your life back by what I do, by my life, my death, by my resurrection. Through that you will have the forgiveness of sins. Through that you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured upon you. And you will receive your life back. Instead of trying to grasp it and cling it and draw it to yourself, I will give you the gift of eternal life. And the beauty of that, my brothers and sisters, is in that moment, then instead of spending our life trying to make life meaningful, we can do that which is written in our hearts. That which is written in the very nature that we possess. We, my brothers and sisters, are made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And so deep within us, in our very hearts, in the deep longing of what we desire to do, ultimately, is to give our life away. To be generous, to make a gift of ourselves, to pour ourselves out for others. This is what we long to do. It is written within ourselves. Have you ever found yourself in a situation? Snow's got me a little caught up today. Have you ever found yourself in a situation in which you find yourself in a place of great prosperity? You know, somebody comes by and drops off 1,000 dozen donuts at the school. And so, like, I call everybody of mine I know, and I'm like, come get donuts, please. Well, I just need 1 dozen, Father. Here's 3 dozen. Well, I don't need 3 dozen. I know you don't need 3 dozen. Go be generous. I'm not trying to get rid of the donuts just because I have 1,000 dozen of them. But the idea is that when we find ourselves in a place of wealth, of an absolute wealth, and we're able to give from it without fear, what does it feel like? Have you ever had that experience? You'll be able to give of yourself. You do it with your time every once in a while, where you had something all planned all day, and then somebody calls and says, I need help. And you drop everything, all of your plans, all of your hope, and you just pour yourself into that person. Have you ever done that? You know what that feels like? You know why that feels so stinking good? It's because what you were created to be. It's who you are, deep within yourself. This one who is supposed to pour forth oneself for the other. You are made in the image and likeness of love. And so this is the transformation. Because when Jesus says in the gospel, the promise that those who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Well, I got news, my brothers and sisters. The kingdom of God is at hand. Because what Jesus is talking about is not being planted by a riverbed that is dry, and that after you die, he will put water in the riverbed, and then you will come to life, and you will possess eternal happiness. You will begin to see fruitfulness in your life after you die. You know, as if like our faith life is an invitation, like a carrot. You know, being put in front of the donkey and saying, come on, move along. When we get there, I'll give you the carrot. The beautiful thing, my brothers and sisters, is that this news, this gift, this offering on the part of Jesus to us, that he will give to us our life back in him, changes today. It changes today. Today becomes the day in which his resurrection and the eternal life that we are promised in him has meaning. Why? Because if Jesus is giving to me eternal life, then I don't need to strive after it in life. And I can take this gift of life that he has given to me, and I can make a gift of it. That is the good news, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ suffered and died and rose from the dead to give you your life back, so that you could take this gift and that you could pour it out and you can make it an absolute gift of it to everybody and everybody that you want to. Isn't that good news? That you can make that gift of yourself, that you can pour yourself out. Why? Because my life is in him. This is the good news. This is the new way of living that Jesus offers to us in the Beatitudes. Instead of spending and wasting our life trying to make it meaningful, and every attempt we do with all of the hours and all of the energy of our life, pouring ourselves into trying to make life meaningful and trying to grasp it and draw it to ourselves, it falls through our fingers. Why? Because we're trying to preserve and we're wasting the life that we want to preserve and trying to preserve it. We cannot do this. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot produce fruit separate from that flowing stream. And the most awesome news of it all, my brothers and sisters, it is absolutely free. It is absolutely free. Jesus came into the world and he offered himself for you and for me, and it is a gift. It is an awesome and wonderful gift that He desires to give to each of us. And if we're able to receive that gift, then everything changes. Because He's giving you your life back. I think it's the greatest news that I could tell you. Because if we are honest with ourselves, if we are honest about this deep longing within us, it is that what we long for the most is to just simply be generous in every way of our life. That's what we long for. That's why parents can do supernatural acts of love for their children. Why? Because what I get out of it? No, it's because it's written in the heart of every person that desire to pour themselves out for another. And our children are the most obvious place to do that. Deep within our hearts, we long to do that for everyone. To make this life that we have been given, to make it into a gift that can be just given away, that can add value and meaning and hope to people's lives. The freedom to do this is found in Jesus. Amen.